podcast, everybody. This is episode 51.
Jeez. Holy shit.
Of the podcast.
We're almost at our centennial.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We'll do something real special for 100 because I'll probably actually be there that time. It just worked out that episode 50 was Valentine's Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so. I hope that was a cute episode.
It was. It was a good episode.
None of us would know because we're all in relationships.
Pat, and Greg, shit. And Adam have great chemistry. It worked out.
Thank God. I thought it was just going to be a shit post.
No, they actually did. They actually did things. I'm happy for him. So
was
if you're
the point
listening,
.5 a shit post?
The point .5 was like 8 minutes of them trying to figure out what to do as an addendum if they didn't have enough like questions or other segments in the podcast.
Oh, okay.
So it didn't make it to post production.
They should have just done what we did that first time you weren't there and just
Waifu Wednesday.
Waifu fucking Wednesday.
You did it without Dan too. That's the thing. How could you?
How could you?
You know what?
Now I'm just thinking about that day because that was a bad day. That was an awful day.
What, Valentine's Day or the first time you were gone?
It was November 15th.
Oh.
I remember because we came back from Guts and I walked in and some shit happened at work that I would not like to discuss on a public podcast, but it's still happening.
This is like that fucking Fairly Odd Parents episode where Denzel Crocker can remember the specific day that was the worst day of his
yeah.
life. Like, that is November 15th your, what was it, March?
March 15th.
March 15th, thank you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh my God, that's around the corner. We should do a Denzel Crocker special.
Oh, that would be so good.
Denzel Crocker special, who else wants that?
Yeah, let us know.
I mean, we're like, you know, Fairly Odd Parents now on Nicktoons, so it's on the chopping block. Like, it's,
oh God, oh, Fairly yeah. Odd Parents. Okay, anyway. Fairly Odd Parents has been on the chopping block. Yeah. Like, have you not seen what the hell is happening?
So that day.
Anyway.
We came back from Guts. I was like in the midst of a week-long hangover. Because
say no more.
Because with some alcohols, my body does not like process them well. And I had a lot of alcohol that weekend.
Oh, I know.
It was a fun time.
It was a fucking
trip. I was also very anxious. And then I came into work and a lot of unprofessional shit happened and it's still happening. And I was like, okay, I need a new job immediately. So I've been job searching since then. And then Dan and I went to my first actual concert, but technically my second concert. We went to see Porter Robinson and Madea on
so
for the
good.
Shelter tour.
What was the first?
Smash Mouth. I've accepted it.
I think that's
open
great.
Open air, Boston Commons.
Yeah, it was free. So... Smash Mouth was my first concert.
I feel you. My first concert situation is really similar. I have a first concert I went to, and that was, I think it was like 2003 or 4.
Yeah.
Raven Simone was playing.
Oh my God!
Oklahoma City State Fair.
Please tell me it was like the Cheetah Girls.
No, it was just Raven.
Man.
If it was the Cheetah Girls,
you mean Final Fantasy 15?
Ooh!
All right. Welcome to episode 51. Sorry to cut you short.
Starring the Cheetah. No, it's all good.
Starring the Cheetah Girls.
Starring
Dan.
The Cheetah Girls.
Kennedy. And Chris.
I was really hoping I'd just stop after me. I was like, yes, I am all of them.
And I'm your host, Deanna Manassian. We're the Cheetah Girls on the Lifecast today, episode 51. What have you guys been doing this week?
Oh, boy.
I can assure you that when you woke up this morning... You did not anticipate you would be called the Cheetah Girls on a podcast.
I would not.
I don't. You know what? I've come to expect these kind of things coming into the VGA.
Damn.
You know?
I want to be the one who was really good at dancing. What was her name?
Like
Belinda?
No,
Dorinda.
Sabrina.
Hmm?
Sabrina?
Sabrina? I don't fucking remember. The only one whose name I remember is...
Raven.
Aqua what the fuck ever.
Aqua.
I remember
Awkwafina.
I remember she had this really kooky name, but they always called her Awkwafina.
Yeah, they always called her
Awkwafina. And it's like you had all these like really exotic sounding names.
Yeah, and they just shortened them.
And Awkwafina. And so I was just like, why is one of these things is not like the other? One of these things is named fucking Awkwafina.
So like when I was a kid, to this day, like I'm still not good at like naming like people or groups or anything.
Oh, you're not good at coming up with names?
No, just like actual names of like people and groups. I'm like, hey, who's this? I'm just like,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
And like,
they're a person.
They showed like a picture of the Cheetah Girls, but they weren't like in like their like suits or whatever. So I was like, okay, wait, a group of females. I was like, is it Destiny's Child?
Iconic.
And I think my sister got like legitimately mad at me. I can't remember
why.
I can't remember. We were probably like 7 and 8.
But seven and eight.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
I'm pretty sure that's when I was introduced to the Cheetah Girls as well. Anyway, we've been doing some games this week. I'll start the conversation.
Go ahead.
I found out about a game from Giant Bomb. They were doing an Unprofessional Fridays segment, and they were doing user-submitted games, and someone submitted the game Redout.
Redout.
Which is this really fast racing game. And I like it because it looks like it could be that 80s aesthetic that I enjoy very much. It is that 80s aesthetic that I enjoy, the polygons and the wireframes and things like that. And it's just overall such a satisfying racing game.
Is it really?
Yeah, I played it once this week.
When did it come out?
It came out 2016. I think the back half of 2016 it came out.
So
and I'm very upset that I didn't get to play it in time to put it in our Game of the Year deliberations, because it deserves to be talked about, at least on my end. It's just it's satisfying. Because, you know, in Mario Kart, you have the drifting. They definitely put more of an emphasis on, they call it strafing in Redout, where you can use, is it the right stick? The right stick to like move your vehicle, like strafe your vehicle in addition to steering. And that's how you get around really tight turns and stuff. Really tight turns. I can't.
You can do it.
I believe.
Your coffee's right there. You got it.
Thank you. That's probably what's causing me to stutter. But there's also, this is something new that I've seen in racing games, but there's a pitch aspect. So when you go around a loop, you have to pitch up so that your car doesn't scrape the bottom.
It's broken.
Yeah. And like if you end up scraping the bottom, you know, you lose speed and whatever. Yeah. Your cars have health, obviously.
I've been playing more and more like F-Zero.
Yeah, it's definitely F-Zero inspired. And like if you like F-Zero, go play this game.
I'm in.
Cuz it like have I Steam shared to your computer?
No.
Okay.
So it is on Steam.
It is on Steam. It's $35, but if you can find a key on G2A or wait for it to go on sale, I definitely recommend that, because I picked it up for, I think, $20. Ooh. And it was worth $20. I think it's, now that I know more of what it is, it would be worth the $35 to me. I just was not in the mood to pay $35 for a game.
I feel it. If I'm going to buy a game for more than like $15 on Steam, it's got to be
really good. And it makes good use of the Steam controller. Like, I did not realize how satisfying using the, like, everything about this game is so satisfying, just to me personally. Yeah. Because I enjoy racing games, which is something I thought I would never say about myself. But like, when you got the Steam controller in your hands and you're using your, like, the right thumb pad, like the track pad to strafe and then steer, and then you use the grip buttons to use the boost, it's like, oh my God.
Y'all can't see this because this is a podcast, but her face is just so lit up
right
now. It's
so good.
Ear to ear smiling. She's lit up like a Christmas
tree. I love this game so much. But yeah, I played it once and I checked my Steam during our stream. The other day, we were playing Team Fortress 2, and the last game that I was playing was Redout on Steam. And I looked at it, and I'm like, I played an hour and a half of this game? Which, to do that in one sitting for me, like, nowadays, is like, bitch, you have other things you could be doing with your time. But, I can't recommend it enough. I really love it.
Ooh, it's called Redout,
right? It's called Redout, like the color and the direction.
Is it one word or two?
It's one word.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll keep an eye
out. Once you've found the neon looking polygons and the cars.
I think I may have
seen the trailer for this. Yeah. Now that I actually think about it.
Mm-hmm. I'll just look for the one that says one friend has this in their library.
Yeah.
Maybe I
might be the only person that has it.
Maybe I'll actually get another game like this instead of just having Undertale. That's the only game I have on Steam.
Because it has a career mode and you can race online. I haven't raced online yet, but the career mode's pretty good. It has a lot of different matches. And one thing I'm not well versed in racing games, but one thing they have is called pure races, where you can't equip power ups, whereas in normal races you could.
Late.
So it's more about skill than having an edge on your opponents.
It's like Smash, no items, that's skill.
All right, Chris. So what have you been doing this week, aside from Smash?
So I've been playing Smash. I've been playing Kingdom Hearts the remaster.
Yeah.
I've actually been having a
2.8.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I beat 2.8. I'm on Dream Drop Distance right now.
Oh, okay. Did you get the new pack with them?
The new pack.
Like the 2.8 and the 0.2 thing?
Yeah. 2.8 comes with Dream Drop Distance, 0.2, and the Unchained Key back cover. Yeah.
I still need to play 0.2.
It's actually really fun.
I borrow it.
It's on PS4 though. Nope. Oh wait, well I guess we have a PS4 in the room. I guess I can bring it in. You can play it.
You should. Pretty please.
Yeah, I've been playing. I've been playing Birth, Dream Drop Distance. It's
Dream Drop by Sleep.
Dream Drop by Sleep. Yo, it's so mix. Good. I love it. Like I don't know why, but like when I'm playing on the PS4, like it feels better. But there's something about like the health bars, because you can like tell is made for like the DS.
Yeah.
Because like the health bar. Like,
oh, do they look like they have? You can count the pixels almost.
Like it's not that I can count the pixels. They look like really short. Like unlike any other like Kingdom Hearts game.
Oh, because the DS has like its own aspect ratio. Yeah. You're playing it on a 16:9 screen. Okay.
I just for some reason that just really gets me every single time I'm fighting. But like, you know, it's still really fun. I'm still having a great time with it.
That's good.
But side note, but this is about Smash, but I did something really good. Last week I got fourth after losing round one.
Oh. So you came all the way back from losers bracket.
Yes.
Wow.
Good shit.
That was actually a really good run for me, and I'm proud of that.
So this was a monthly?
No, this was the week that the monthly, like the week before I got fifth. But I lost like round three losers, so it's not as impressive.
Oh, okay. it wasn't the comeback.
It wasn't the comeback.
It wasn't the comeback story that everyone wants from CP9.
Jesus Christ, who do you think you are?
I think it's still the only game I've been playing. Really got into Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Again.
All right.
I feel.
Kennedy, what's
Hello.
Up?
Hello. So, I mean, I've mostly been focusing on two games. One of them, like a lot of other people right now, is Fire Emblem Heroes, which y'all can expect a review on that game soon that I'm currently working on. I have this very weird situation with Fire Emblem Heroes. Most everybody playing it right now really wants like Hector or Lin or Crom or any other lord. You know who I want?
Please let me get Hector.
What?
Please let me get Hector.
Please. I can't.
Stan's crying.
I can't,
that's all I
you
want.
You can't see it.
That's all I want.
I can't control that. But no, I just really want Gaius.
Who? Okay.
Gaius. He is he's the thief in Awakening, and he is my boy. Well, actually, Owain is my boy, but Owain didn't make it into Heroes. Odin did, but he doesn't have a trembling sword hand, so I don't care. Gaius is my other boy, and I want him, and he's not even that hard to get.
Oh, is he like a 4-star or something?
He's down to 1-star, actually.
Yeah, like he's not even...
He's in every round.
Trash.
He's not even that hard to get, allegedly, but somehow, for whatever reason, I have still been unable to get him. There
Wait
are people
a minute.
Like Adam from this podcast. You know, I think he said he's got like 6 or 7 Gaius.
As opposed to any other Adam we know.
Yeah.
Adam from this podcast.
Well, Dan has a brother named Adam.
But he's not on this podcast.
We call him Tic Tac.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
We
but anyway,
call him Tic Tac.
I digress.
That was great.
The only character that I actively want, who isn't even supposed to be that hard to get, I can't seem for the life of me.
Yeah.
For whatever godforsaken reason.
Oh my god.
The RNG gods hath smited me. And the other game I've been playing mostly is Final Fantasy VII. Anybody who
me, I know who Gaius is.
Yeah.
He's cool.
He's the guy with the sweet tooth. I relate to him on such a level.
Yeah, he's got lollipops.
Yeah.
In his little
Oh, you have him! You have him! You have him!
You can't see it, but
proving my point.
I pulled up Fire Emblem Heroes on my phone. Now I wanted to see who Gaius was. I enlarged his picture and I turned it around, and
Bye.
Kennedy didn't realize I had him. That was great.
have a bias for Gaius. Anyway.
A bias for
Gaius. A bias for Gaius.
Anyway, and the other game I've been playing is Final Fantasy VII. As many of you know, especially if you follow me on Twitter, JRPGs are my favorite genre. And, you know, Final Fantasy VII, that's the JRPG. Yeah. Like, you know, even people who don't like JRPGs, like, know about Final Fantasy VII, and they
I think
tell
everyone
you.
Knows about Final Fantasy VII.
It was marketed
VII.
Really well.
Yeah,
like, my mom knows about Final
yeah,
Fantasy
exactly.
VII.
Like, go to an... Like, walk up to any... Fucker, like
any fucker,
game. Any fucker, like at GameStop.
It's Freaker. Oh, is this here?
Walk up to any.
It's your language, my virgin ears.
Walk up to any hecker at GameStop. Hecker. And I don't care how young they are. I don't care if they're still a fetus.
Whoa! All right.
And show them a picture of Cloud Strife, and they'll be able to tell you, yeah, that's Cloud Strife. Now, I have played Crisis Core. In fact, Crisis Core was one of the first Final Fantasy games I played.
That's an awful starting point.
I like
it's better than
Core.
Mine.
I don't.
What was yours?
My starting point for the Final Fantasy series was watching Advent Children in 10th grade.
That is an awful starting point. Anyway, so, but you know, I still... I have
it was a library DVD too, so it skipped in places.
Oh my god!
A library DVD.
That you took what you somehow took something really bad and made it worse. I don't know how you did it, but you did. I digress. But yeah, Crisis Core was one of my entries into the series. I haven't played it in years, so I don't know if it's aged well or not. But at the time, I remember I at least liked it. Okay. I digress. But yeah, I've played Crisis Core. Unfortunately, I played Dirge of Cerberus. But my point is, I've played all the spin-offs for
that
7.
That's where
I
wanted to go next.
I have played...
Dirge of Cerberus.
Oh my god. I've played more than half of the main series, Final Fantasy series. And yet, 7 is just... It kind of always eluded my grasp. You know, for a while, like when I was in high school and I was edgy... You know, my reason for not playing it was that, like...
It's overrated.
Well, no. It's not that it was overrated. It was just that I already knew all the spoilers.
Oh.
So I was like, what's the point in playing it if I already know that Aerith fucking dies and that Cloud is gonna...
I haven't played it yet!
Oh. But, you know, I was like, I know that Sephiroth kills Aerith, yeah. And I know that Cloud kicks his butt, and mm-hmm. that Sephiroth is a test tube baby.
Yeah.
All that bullshit. So I was like...
Don't discriminate.
But, you know, I was in my edgy phase, and I was like, what's the point? What's the point? So I just, and I mean, obviously I grew out of that mindset, but I still have that more or less with other things, like with TV shows.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a whole other medium entirely.
Yeah, that, TV shows, I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's a static medium for the most part.
Yeah.
I actually just assume everything is bad. Until I am told otherwise.
Yeah.
But
anyway.
But yeah, I digress. So for a while, I was avoiding it on purpose. But then after a while, it just kind of became one of those, well, you know, a physical copy is like $30, $40 if I want all the discs. And for $30, $40, I could play lots of other games. But it went on sale. Final Fantasy VII went on sale on the Steam Winter Sale. And I've been playing it the last couple of weeks, and I really, 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 really like it. My only complaint so far is that I was stupid, and I accidentally missed the side quest where you can get Yuffie, because they ask, because you have to, you essentially have to pay to do it, because, like, you're in this fucking temple, and the guy is like, Chris, he just kind of...
He did finger guns.
Yeah, anyway, I digress. There's
you have
this guy
to pay
in the temple,
your fee?
Yeah, no, he's like, we need a donation, so before you can help
thank
us on this
for...
side quest, we need you to donate,
you.
And I had just blown all my money off on new items, so I didn't have any money, and I was like, well, it's a side quest, this can't be that important, I'll just get back to this later, and then, you know, in the main story, right after that, you go to a completely other continent, and based on what I've seen in a walkthrough, by the time I'm able to go there again, Yuffie will be horrendously underleveled, so it's not even worth it to get her anymore, and now I'm sad. And other than that, that's all I've been playing.
Okay. Dan.
Okay.
How's life?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
All right. That's good. Yep.
In terms of what I've been playing.
Yeah. Enlighten us.
Yeah. All right.
As you're about to do.
Yes.
Please.
Before
right
I interrupt
about
you
now.
Again.
I could think of nothing. I can think of nothing I'd like to know more.
Okay, so oddly enough, I've actually been playing a lot of Ark Survival Evolved the past couple, like, 2 weeks, I think.
I just heard about that this week.
Really?
Yeah. What is it?
It's,
I heard the name.
Oh, okay.
The only thing I know about really it is like... that when I'm on Steam playing Final Fantasy VII, every now and again a window will come up saying, Recommend Dan is playing Ark Survival, and it'll come up like five more times while I'm playing it.
Because I have to fucking close and open the thing because it's still, like, really glitchy.
Is it still in beta?
Nah. It's, well, I guess kinda. It's in...
Is it like a Warframe beta?
Kinda.
Where it's like a full game, but they're not calling it a full game yet.
that's exactly what it is. It's a full game, but they're not calling it a full game. Okay. It's an open access Steam survival game.
It's a what?
That sounds very unholy.
It's one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Oh, sorry,
early access.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, early access.
Early access. Yeah, that's what I mean. Early access Steam survival game.
It's definitely it's like one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
The early access Steam survival game.
Yeah.
But it's also like really good.
Yeah.
So a lot of the shticks with early access games is that they're just people charging you for an unfinished product without having to be yelled at for selling it at full price.
Yep.
This because usually like, it is.
Yeah. And this is... actually a game that the dev team is like super passionate about, and I don't think I've ever started up the game and there wasn't an update.
Okay. All right.
Like, and I played it like daily.
Jeez.
That's impressive.
They pump out a lot of updates. Like, they're working on this like 24/7. So I can't really be mad at them for putting it in open access or early access, because it's like, okay, at least you're putting in the effort. I had it on my Steam library for like a year and a half, and I just never touched it because I never had a... Which, it's a, like a super demanding game. You need a really strong rig to actually play it well.
Oh. Yeah.
And now that I have an i7 processor and a 1060,
oh,
I can play it.
Crispy.
But do you have two 1080s, though?
No.
You don't need two 1080s.
You don't need one 1080.
That's like my meme for computers, because like...
Does it have two 1080s?
Because like,
no, it's two
Titan X's.
Like, what was that? Like CEX or something?
Yeah.
Everything had like
Every laptop had had two desktop-grade 1080s.
God.
Oh, my God.
So every time I hear a laptop, I'm like, if it doesn't have two 1080s, it's bad.
Like, I've seen the future, and I hate it.
One of them has a 2 terabyte storage and a curved screen.
You're sitting there like, why?
Like, didn't that one get stolen?
No,
and
that was the laptop with 3 screens.
Yeah, no one could steal it because it's too fucking heavy.
And the word in the words of Dan himself, man, CEX is just so extra this year.
Also, everything was RGB.
Oh yeah,
every single thing there was
everything
RGB.
Was RGB.
It was like, it was so extra. I love it. But
isn't it RGB anyway? You just stick a component cable on it.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Why is that novel? That's not innovation.
Hey, but it has it on it with two 1080s.
I mean, now we're getting RGB RAM.
Wait, I don't know what that means. I don't know who doesn't know what that means.
Okay, so RAM is this little thing that helps your computer handle multitasking a lot better, essentially. And normally it's very small.
It's like your short-term memory.
Yeah, short-term memory. It's very, like, compact. It's very tiny. Putting RGB on it is generally a bad idea because it just doesn't work well because of just the shape of the RAM, but they figured it out. It's like 6-7 inches tall, but they figured it out.
I love the future.
The future is great.
Anyway, Ark.
Yes.
So it's a really good game.
Yeah.
Basically, the best way I can describe it is like not pixely Minecraft with dinosaurs.
Okay,
cool.
I'll play it for a little bit.
Yeah,
probably.
It's pretty good.
Does
it cost
anything?
It is, I believe, $35 or $40 on Steam. But I got a free code because Nugget had a bunch of extra codes, and I was like, "Hey,
how does he get all these
free
codes?"
Sure.
Nugget has not a lot of things to do with his time.
Yeah.
Nugget has not a lot of things to do with his time and a lot of money.
Yeah.
A deadly combination.
He buys every code of Garfield Kart whenever it goes on.
Yeah, he does.
Every time.
I saw a speed run of Garfield Kart once.
Is it? Oh wait, did you see an AGDQ?
No. A Hotline Miami speedrunner, also speed run of Garfield Kart. Yeah, speedrun is not a real English word. It's probably German because they're the ones that mash all their words together. Their words do the fuck. And we're left with one really big Franken word.
I love it.
But yeah, I saw that. That's my only anecdote there. I did, in fact, see a speed run of Garfield Kart.
Oh boy,
it was pretty interesting. I am not gonna lie to you.
How do you?
I would imagine.
How
honestly,
do you do that?
It's just like a speed run of Mario Kart. You go fast,
but with more tech.
Yeah, you go fast and you cut corners.
And cool. You jump over stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so like I'm pretty sure Nugget has ascended at this point because I was on I was on Shitpostbot 5000 the other day.
Yeah.
And the top meme was just a picture saying your friend has started playing Garfield Kart.
Oh, I got it.
So it's like, I don't know.
He's ascended.
Goodbye. It was nice knowing you.
Rest in nuggets.
The other games I've been playing are like Pokemon and Guilty Gear because competitive stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to bother talking about it.
Okay. I mean, you can.
I know, but it's
this
like
this is
the standard,
a place to do it.
Yeah. But it's a standard. I've been practicing and I'm getting better and yay.
Okay.
So,
And yay.
Woohoo!
But the other game that I've been playing a lot of actually is Princess Remedy in a World of Hurt.
Yes.
I'm interested.
It's really cool.
Isn't that game free?
Yes, it's absolutely free.
Oh, okay.
It's
can I play it on my GameCube?
If you want to call a computer a GameCube.
No deal.
Chris, we're going to make you use Steam for something other than Undertale.
Yeah, it's going to be Redout. Because it's F-Zero.
We're gonna buy. You know what? Let's talk to Nugget. Let's get you a code for Garfield Kart.
Or Redout.
Let's hook him up. Yeah, or Redout.
Or Redout.
Or both.
Or both.
Or Rivals of Aether.
Oh, yeah. That's Smash. You already play that.
Y'all can't see it, but he has this big shit-eating grin on his face.
Yeah, Princess Remedy is really, like, really cool. It's like this, when you start up the game, it's all, like, 8-bit sprites. Like, not even 8-bit, honestly, like, 2-bit.
Okay.
Because everything is, like, one color.
Yeah.
And you're walking around this fantasy world just helping sick people. And
yeah.
Just progressing through it. And the way you help sick people is you talk to them, and then you enter this, like, shooter puzzle game, like, thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like you move around it, you shoot things, and it's really hard.
Okay.
It's really cool. It's really hard to explain because it's a unique game.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen much like it. It's like, while moving through the world and interacting with people and all that kind of stuff, it's very like NES RPG kind of style, like Dragon Quest. I guess Dragon Quest 1 is the best way, or Dragon Warrior on the NES.
Ooh.
And then once you get into the actual game, it's, like, really weird.
Okay.
It's very hard to describe. I'll probably write something up on it because it's really cool. But, yeah, Princess Remedy in a World of Hurt. It's free. It's great.
I've been watching Naka Talili. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but whoever the fuck. I've been watching some of his Let's Plays on it. It looks really cool.
Okay. Watch actually. Commander Holly's Let's Plays on it. They're really good.
Has Holly been playing it?
Yes. Oh. She played it a while back.
I love Holly.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of completely free-to-play games, Kennedy was doing a bit of research on
mobile games
and the revenue they pull in. Do you care to enlighten us a little bit?
Sure fucking thing.
Because this is very interesting to me.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, I'm currently working on a review for Fire Emblem Heroes, and part of what I wanted to do to put everything in perspective was I wanted to know how many daily users it has and how much revenue it makes on average, because I think that something I was worried about when I was deciding maybe I should write a review on it was that usually a mobile game has a shelf life of about a month before its user base kind of starts to drop, like we saw it with Pokemon Go.
Although it has been making a resurgence. It's number one on iTunes.
Oh, it's
again?
Been number one.
No, it came back as like number one most monthly downloads, and it's number three on Google Play. Yeah. I saw that this morning.
Oh, I thought you were meaning in revenue, because in revenue...
No, yeah, not in revenue. In revenue, like actual amount of downloads.
Yeah, in revenue, nothing is even close to touching it right now. But I digress. Usually your average mobile game has a lifespan of about a month or two before its fan base kind of starts dropping out. So I was thinking, okay, so is Fire Emblem, does it have a little bit of longevity to it? Like, I know Clash Royale,
Clash Royale, I can tell you, is making a bit of a resurgence.
Yeah.
At least with people who have already started playing it.
I was looking at charts for mobile games with the highest revenue. Yeah. And in the United States, I think it was number... I was using, what was it, like Think Gamer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a site where you can look up a lot of statistics on game sales. There is a free membership and a paid membership. I only have the free membership, but the paid membership lets you look at so much detail. It's incredible. Yeah. I digress. Clash Royale is in the top five most profitable mobile games in the United States. Worldwide, it's like still in the top 10. So,
along with like four other Supercell games.
Yeah.
Supercell
knows how to do the free-to-play model.
So here's something I noticed, first of all, in terms of the mobile gaming. First of all, Fire Emblem Heroes specifically is on its debut, it had the third highest 24-hour gross revenue of any mobile game.
Ever?
At $2.9 million, which, it's really interesting, because the other top two, the first one is Pokemon with like 10-point-something million. Nothing is even close to touching it. Number two is Super Mario Run with about 8 million.
Yeah.
Which, again, I find very interesting, because something we've seen in Super Mario Run is that, you know, that's when I feel like we started seeing the cracks of, oh my god, Nintendo doesn't know how to fucking price their stuff in a mobile game, and that's carried over to Fire Emblem, unfortunately. But yeah, so in first place you had Pokemon Go at $10 million USD. In second place you had Super Mario Run with $8 million USD. And in third was Fire Emblem Heroes with $2.9 million USD. That's an insane...
That's a gap.
That is an insane gap. Yeah. And it's like... I mean, first of all, it's worth mentioning that even though Pokemon Go was not made by Nintendo, Pokemon is still
It's published by Nintendo.
Yeah. But
so it's still like a Nintendo game.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. It's not 100% Nintendo, but I digress. The top three are all Nintendo games. The next one was Clash of Clans, and it was at like 1-point-something million.
Yeah.
But I just thought, first of all, that was so cool that they were all Nintendo games. And I also think it says a lot about the mobile market, because an average of 500 new apps are added to the mobile market on a daily basis. So that's 800, that's 500 apps a day for 365 days a year. I don't have a calculator on me, but I don't need one. Okay, Dan, you want to do this? But I don't need a calculator to know that that's...
Back her up, Dan!
In fucking incredible. Fire Emblem Heroes gets an average, in the last week, has had an average of $50,000 in revenue every day.
That is an average of 182,500 uploaded a year.
Insane.
Yeah.
Almost 200,000.
Yeah. The average... Now, the price... Like, the revenue for mobile games fluctuates a lot, because with all those mobile games, it's really easy to go about your mobile game and not make any money at all. Mm-hmm. Like, you might get $5 for ad revenue, but, you know, most mobile games don't surpass the $10 to $20 revenue mark.
Yeah.
That said, most mobile games are also designed to just be like as cheap as possible.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, games that have like a decent download rate, like usually at least 1,000 to 2,000 downloads, you know, they usually average closer to the $50-$60 revenue. But the point is, the vast majority of all mobile games do not break $100 in a day. Fire Emblem Heroes made an average of $50,000 every day in the last week, and has had an average of 8,000 daily installs. But the thing I found the most interesting in my research, because I was also looking, again, at mobile games overall, was the sheer rate at which they are uploaded and taken down. Uploaded and taken down. Uploaded and taken down. I don't need to say it again. It's already getting repetitive. Like I said earlier, there's an average of 500 uploaded every day.
Yeah.
And about, what was it? I think it was 300? Something like that. It was like a little over half. Not quite 300, but very close. Of those are taken down or removed or deleted. They are no longer on the mobile market within a year.
I'm actually very interested to like see if there's any kind of numbers of like how many of those like daily installs Fire Emblem has are from the same people.
I would love
because
to
see
that.
Because a lot of people uninstalling and reinstalling their game to get better rolls.
Yeah, and
they know.
I honestly think that plays into it a lot too, because 8,000 daily downloads, that's a lot. That's more than most apps see in their lifetime.
Yeah.
And it gets that every day. And obviously it also might have something to do with the fact that it's still the first month for the game.
Yeah.
Then again, like, they had hyped this up you know, it was in that bundle of like, oh, Nintendo's making mobile games. There's going to be a Mario game. There's going to be a Fire Emblem game.
Yeah.
And there's going to be an Animal Crossing game.
Yeah. And okay. they made like, it. And then,
huh?
This is going to be an Animal Crossing game?
Yeah. Next month.
And Nintendo has made
it. If they don't push it back again.
And Nintendo's made it no secret that they're really trying to push Fire Emblem to be one of their bigger IPs. And that, I mean, 2017 is practically the year of Fire Emblem. We have this. We have Fire Emblem Heroes. We have Shadows of Valencia. And God knows what else around the corner. So this is a good year to be a Fire Emblem fan, evidently. But yeah, mobile games. And I think what, I mean, as someone who likes looking at funny bootlegs, I would love to know what percentage of these are either like duplicate apps or bootleg knockoff. What percentage of them are made in the United States?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would love to know how many unique apps, shall we say, are uploaded in a day, because I don't have any information to back me up, but I would bet a hefty amount of money that it's less than 100. It's just, there's no
like
way.
Per day?
Per day, yeah. Unique apps, not duplicate, bootleg, knockoff, or...
Makes sense.
Backups, shall we say.
And is this just games or all apps?
That is all apps.
Oh, okay.
But that said, most apps are games. So they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for
fun
those
things.
Interesting statistics.
Fun facts.
Fun facts with Kennedy. And now, question time.
Ooh.
With the livecast.
I have waited my whole life for this fucking moment.
This question time?
This question.
Specifically?
Specifically. I am pumped.
Damn.
I'm feeling pretty all right.
Get fucking ready.
I'm
sorry.
Ready.
Get heckin' ready.
Lay it on me. lay it on me.
Aside from HD collections,
God.
Compilations of older games are relatively rare nowadays. As someone who enjoys older games, as if gaming the undervalued treasures was any indication, I think they are a phenomenal way to capture forgotten periods in gaming or celebrate a classic franchise. Anyways, I have two questions about compilations. Number one. From our very own Colin Barry, in case you could not have guessed already.
We love you, Colin.
What is your personal favorite game compilation? Capcom Classics Collection, Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection, and the Mega Man Anniversary Collection.
Correction.
Collection are three of the best out there, in my humble opinion.
In his humble onion. I think I have
in my ombre onion.
Ombre onion.
The best compilation out there is that box set of Viva Pinata and Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. I don't have a favorite otherwise. I really don't pay attention to compilations. I'm sorry, Colin, that my answer is a bit of a cop-out, but I really want that back. That little disc.
And
any Nancy Drew compilation that will work on a modern computer.
Nice.
I miss my Nancy Drew games.
Obviously, because I played it recently, the BioShock collection is pretty fresh in my head.
Yep.
It's, if you didn't already own BioShock, and I can't imagine how you could not, because it's like you can.
It was
pick
like
up.
$5 every single Steam sale.
Yeah, and
I
like,
don't own it.
And huh?
I don't own it.
Yeah, but you don't own it because you're my boyfriend, and I have like five different versions of it, so you don't have to own it. I digress. So obviously,
let him have his own possessions. anyway.
But yeah, so if for whatever god for fucking sake reason you do not own BioShock yet,
it's a great way
to really get into the series. It has all the DLC already loaded into it. BioShock in the past has already been really good about making different versions of it that's had everything. Like, you had the BioShock Infinite Complete Edition, which had all the DLC in it already loaded.
It's almost There's like it's the good game
that
they made. The only one.
I disagree! And then, you know, there's plenty
of... Yeah, BioShock 2 is my favorite thing that Irrational Games ever made.
You triggered me.
finish your point, Kennedy.
But yeah, BioShock 1, there's a lot of versions that come with 2, a lot of versions of 2 with 1, a lot of versions with Infinite with 1. But it's a really good way to just bundle everything together if you just want it all, or if you're just like me and you love BioShock and you just want to have all of them. I can't really think of any others that I've...
Oh,
I mean, I got... I have the, if this counts, because it's a Steam bundle, I recently, Final Fantasy had its 30th anniversary recently, and Steam put, like, all their Final Fantasy titles on a huge sale. All
right.
And I bought the pack that had 4 and 4 the After Years, and that's a That's pretty cool.
All right.
Four is overrated.
Shut the fuck up. Don't start discourse on my podcast. Shut the fuck up. Dan, what's your favorite compilation? We'll get to you, Chris. I'm sorry. I just wanted to do it before you started more discourse.
I mean, if it makes a difference, like, I don't think she's played it yet.
I haven't.
Yeah, so there wouldn't be any discourse. Yeah, that's why I said it.
I really can't agree.
Stop the discourse before it starts!
I can't agree or disagree. I haven't played it yet, and that's why I bought it.
I don't believe
you. Anywho.
Yeah. Well, first off, I fully agree with Colin. All the ones he said are also some of my favorite collections. I think they're really good. I'd also like to throw in two more.
Mm-hmm.
The Mega Man X collection.
That is a good one.
Because
that's a great one.
It's got hard. X's 1 through 6, which is all the good ones.
You think Tetris is hard?
No, I think Tetris is a bad game.
Chris,
what do you not like puzzles?
You,
either?
Chris, you
puzzles are fine. Not Tetris.
I like the same thing.
Chris, you of all people here do not have a right to talk about the Mega Man X collection. Would you like to know why? Would you like to know why?
I said it was hard.
Dear listeners.
That's all he said.
That's actually true.
This is still relevant. This is still relevant. I loaned this fucker my copy of the Mega Man X collection.
Stop! This is discourse!
This is actually a great story.
Yeah, no, this is actually hilarious. This fucker held on to it for 2 years.
It's because he was trying to beat it.
No, he never touched it.
You couldn't lie.
No, wait, no, I did play it. I played it the one time we were supposed to have a meeting
over winter break. Over winter break, when we were the live cast, we were having a little meeting about the game of the year stuff. Chris came over to my house, and he brought the Mega Man X collection with him, and for
Is
the
this
first
why
time
you left.
And for
no,
the
no,
first
I have to leave
time,
oh, then he may do something.
Yeah, oh, okay. And for the first time in 2 years, the day he was returning it to me is the day he finally played it for like an hour.
Oh my god,
it was great.
So you don't get to talk about Mega Man X.
So Dan, Mega Man X collection,
yeah,
compilation,
yeah,
yeah.
It's really good because it has 1 through 6. Those are the only ones you'll ever have to play because they're the only good ones.
Okay, and
but
the
it
racing
also,
game.
I was just about to get to that. The best part.
This has been a good podcast for racing games, hasn't it?
The best part about the Mega Man X collection is the garbage ass racing game that comes with it.
I should not have
now,
spoken.
Now, I have a funny joke.
As opposed to a bad joke?
When it comes to this kind of stuff, I'm absolutely a racist. Like Mario Kart,
what?
Mario Kart, Mario Kart, Double Dash, Mario Kart 8, you know, fucking Red whatever,
get
are great.
A.
But
get
Mega a. Man Racing?
Oklahoma! You can't just say that!
I'm a racist.
But the Mega Man Racing game, Garfield Racing, those games are garbage. So is it okay to hate those races?
Yes. Absolutely.
I'm hilarious. Take all of that out of context. I'm just kidding. Don't. Please don't. I'm not PewDiePie. I'm not PewDiePie. Please don't take that out of context.
Discourse.
Don't take that.
I'm hysterical. Chris, what's your favorite compilation?
Oh, wait. I only have one more.
I'm sorry.
The other one
I
is the...
I wanted to steer away from the discourse as fast as possible.
I think I'm hilarious.
You're funny.
Yo, them shots.
Yeah, my other favorite collection... is the Legend of Zelda Collector's Edition on the GameCube.
Oh my god!
Oh god, that one's good too.
It's fucking fantastic. It's got Zelda 1, Zelda 2, Ocarina of Time,
Majora's Mask,
and a Trial of Wind Waker!
It's pretty good.
That's how I played Ocarina and Majora's Mask.
Fucking yes! Thank you! That one slipped my mind. That was like the second GameCube game I bought.
It's a really good collection.
For the record, I do genuinely think you're funny.
Damn Skippy.
But yeah.
It's really sorry good. I overreacted. I really love Legend of Zelda.
Do you
really?
Now?
No.
But yeah. That's it. And right. Also what all Colin right. said. Those are all fantastic collections.
All right.
If you say Melee HD.
Don't worry. There's no compilation of Melee yet.
Yet.
So
there's no compilation of one game. I think that's just called Melee.
So check this out. I don't know if you guys have played. I'm sure you have. Sonic Mega Collection.
Yes.
I used to have that game.
Tell me why
I
it's so.
Like I've heard of it.
It's
I have not
so
played it.
Good. Sonic 1, 2, 3, Sonic 3 and Knuckles. What else did it have? Those one Rystar.
Rystar.
Rystar
is a surprisingly good game.
I'd never unlocked it. But was it just hard? So much fun. And you know what? It had Dr. Robotnik's.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna call me out.
No, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Yo, that game is lit.
Mean Machine?
It's literally Puyo Puyo Tetris, but I fell in love with it.
It's
so there is a kind of Tetris that you like.
But you see,
I didn't think Puyo Puyo.
He only likes it if it's Sonic.
I didn't think of it as Tetris. I thought of it as Eggman trying to take over the world. With like gummy
with
snacks.
With Tetris.
Yeah, with gummy snacks.
Okay, Mean Bean Machine is not Tetris. It's Puyo Puyo.
I know you're saying Mean Bean, but I'm hearing Meme Bean.
Meme Bean.
And then.
Given their
Sonic
social
Twitter.
Media, though.
It's so good. I love the Sonic Mega Collection, like, as a whole. I they have like a little comic book section.
Yeah.
I remember reading that, and I remember loving the little ambient music they have in the background.
You know what else has a comic book section?
What?
Super Mario Galaxy.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it has a
wait,
little
which
picture
one?
Book.
Oh my God.
No one else has a comic book section. As a matter of fact, it is one.
Noctropolis.
Comic Zone on the Sega Genesis.
And that's it.
And that's it.
And he's looking distant.
I'm done.
He's looking distantly.
That's it.
He's got like, 1,000 yards stare.
And like, yo, they had like a preview or something of Sonic Adventure 2 Battle on it for some reason.
Yo, wait. Actually, the best compilation.
Oh, Dan's about to slap us with the truth.
Sega Smash Pack 2.
What?
Yes.
That doesn't sound like a slap of truth.
It's a compilation of old Sega Genesis games.
Wait, I remember this.
They have Comic Zone. They have Vector Man. They have Sonic 2. I think they had Sonic CD. No, it didn't have Sonic CD. It had Sonic 2. It had Shining Force, which is one of the best strategy games ever. And it had like two other games that I can't remember off the top of my head.
So like all the best Genesis games of the time.
Basically all the best Genesis games of the time.
All right. I'm sold.
Fantastic game.
And then also the Kingdom Hearts 2.5 collection. You know, 1.5
yeah,
is great enough. But 2.5.
Has Birth by Sleep.
Absolutely it does. And it was so good. Mm. And Kingdom Hearts 2 is like the best in the series.
Every time we bring up Kingdom Hearts on this podcast, it's just like a split. One side of the table, like it's always down the long side.
Oh my God, it is. Like, it actually, okay. Y'all can't see this, but we are recording
on a square
table.
On a rectangle.
Yeah, and Dan and Deanna are on one
if
side.
If you fold it like a hot dog, that's where the division
yeah,
is between
and,
us.
And me and Chris, the Oklahomies, if you will, are
yeah,
on the other.
Believe.
Every single time.
Birth by Sleep is the best.
Like,
anyway.
2.5. Fantastic. Absolutely loved it. It's the final mix.
All right.
But yeah.
It also went on sale like immediately when it came out, which is also really cool.
And finally, our final question. If you could make your own compilation, what would it be? Yes.
What was your compilation? Wait, which one did you choose?
I picked. Oh, I didn't say a compilation.
You didn't?
Zelda? Yeah, I guess it would be Zelda because that, like, oh my God.
Holy it has fuck!
Majora. It has Majora. It has one, two, like, I don't care for two. It has one. It has Ocarina of Time. I think it has the, doesn't it have the Master Quest too?
I don't know if it has Master Quest.
Because
I
own both.
Master Quest was released separately, I think.
Yeah, it just has, okay. It just has one, two,
the,
Ocarina, Majora, and the Wind Waker.
The 3DS port is Master Quest.
Yeah.
Of Ocarina.
How did they fit all that on a GameCube disc?
Exactly. It's
it was
because they're Nintendo 64
game.
Games. They are like 5 megabytes.
Yeah.
No, I guess you're right.
Plus, discs had like the GameCube discs had surprisingly high storage.
Yeah. I also almost modded my GameCube so that it could play full size discs, but you'd need to get like a separate case because the sensor can move that far. They just restrict the case size.
For that tiny disc.
Yeah. That tiny disc and all that unnecessary plastic.
I love it.
In the packaging.
So for compilations that we would like to make, if you're done talking about Zelda.
I guess my favorite compilation. Mm-hmm. I don't have one aside from Zelda. I'm sorry to disappoint. I'm sorry to leave you hanging for this so long. I didn't play many video games as a child.
I believe it.
Let me tell y'all.
Yeah, there what compilation would you like to make?
There is no series more deserving of a compilation.
Jack and Daxter. What are you going to say?
No, it has one.
Oh, it does? I didn't
know
that,
actually. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's decent.
Let her finish!
There is no series that deserves one more than Todd Hack.
Oh yeah, that's fair.
This is what you, yeah.
All right, now, if you have read anything I've put on the Life Cast, you know that I feel very strongly about Dot Hack. It is one of my favorite video game franchises of all time. Now, here's the thing with Dot Hack. It is a pretty rare JRPG series. There are two main series, the Infection Quadrilogy and the GU Trilogy. Both of them were only published on the PS2. The Infection series has four games, Infection, Mutation, Outbreak, and Quarantine. Infection, Mutation, Outbreak, if you buy them at the very most, like if you buy them like complete in box, you know, with both of the discs and the manual, you're generally going to spend like about $40 maybe maximum if you want everything in super good condition, which isn't so bad. I mean, it's three games, so yeah. You know, you're going to have to spend that 43 times, but that's not so bad. Quarantine. The cheapest you'll ever see it is $150.
Yeah.
Easy.
Easy. It is considered... In fact, it's not even considered. It is the second most expensive PS2 game you can buy, second only to Rule of Rose, which touts an absurd price tag
like
of about
$600 to $800.
Yeah,
like I mean, was there only one copy?
Pretty much. It was super controversial.
Yeah, and like, it was.
You can get Japanese copies for like $5. So.
If you want to learn more about Rule of Rose, look it up in my Games That Deserve re-release.
It was a really good article.
Thank you. I'm very proud of that one. But anyway, suffice to say. $150 at the cheapest.
Yeah.
Like, you're looking at an average price closer to $200, $250. And that's for the last game of the series. So it really hurts when you have, like, those first three and then you can't get to the ending. So a lot of people end up buying it anyway for that absurd price tag, including me.
But you have it.
But I have it. I own it. And it still takes me by surprise every day. And then GU is three games, each usually range, they're usually about the same price each, $60 to $80 depending on their condition. Like if you want disc only, it's gonna be closer to $60. If you want complete in box, closer to $80.
Yeah.
Now, here is the catch with these games. First of all, they're wonderful and they have a very, very devout fan base of which I am a part of. And CyberConnect, for whatever reason, has re-released them in Japan.
But they haven't done it.
Yeah, here. Like it's on the fucking Japanese PlayStation Network, but they're not here. And the cherry on top, what I think just puts the cherry on top of all this, what makes it really hard to get people into Dot Hack, other than the fact that the canon is fucking enormous and it's really hard, like if you don't have someone there holding your hand, you know, telling you where you can start.
Yeah.
Or more importantly, where you can't, is that these games emulate like trash. Mm-hmm. You could have, yeah, no, Dan has tried it and he has a really good computer. These games emulate like garbage. I have not seen, if anyone has a good ROM of these games, please let me fucking see it, because I, in my almost 10 years as a Dot Hack fan, nine as a matter of fact, in my 9 years,
yeah, you can round up,
yeah, in my decade of being a Dot Hack fan, I have never, not once in my life, seen or heard of anybody coming across a good, well-functioning, playable ROM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris is looking up the part in Rule of Rose, spoilers, where there's a rat on a stick.
Yeah. but yeah.
It's not nearly as funny as you make it sound.
But yeah, so Dot Hack, very rare, very expensive, and they emulate poorly, and it's really hard to get people into new games. Plus, GU is having its 10-year anniversary this year.
Yeah.
So why the fuck wouldn't you do that? And CyberConnect 2 also recently opened up a new office in Canada. And, I mean,
maybe they'll show us some love.
Please, please. It's all I ever fucking... I have physical copies of all of the Dot Hack games. And if they were ever put on a compilation, if they were even put on Steam, if they even had crappy mobile ports, if they ever legally released them in any way, shape, or form, I don't care how shitty it is, I would purchase the hell out of it.
I just really like Dot Hack. You know what compilation I'd like to see?
What would you like to see?
Brought to modern computers, The Logical Journey of the Zumbinis.
What?
Oh my god!
Please enlighten me as to what that is.
The Logical Journey of the Zumbinis is how I did math as a child.
Oh my god. That game was my shit.
Oh my god, it was so good! You could make this little, like, bean-looking avatar. Like, you were literally a jelly bean with a nose and sunglasses.
I'm already in.
You looked so fucking cool!
This is already ridiculous.
It gets better.
You had to lead them through the jungle, across fucking mountains.
I like this.
You had to keep them safe with the powers of math.
And every section, you had this little trial you had to go to, and it was always something different. My personal favorite is the pizza goblin.
Yes.
I like this game. I've tell never me, played this game, but I
tell
like
me
it.
This does not deserve a compilation or digital remaster after hearing the phrase, you have to take them through trials, and my favorite was the one with the pizza goblin.
You Wait, had h- me at Jelly Bean with sunglasses.
There were like two or three.
Yeah, two or three, something like that.
Yeah. And Jelly Bean with sunglasses.
You had me at Jelly Bean with sunglasses. I mean, I was dancing in the palm of your hand.
But if you weren't playing Math Blaster, like, what were you actually doing with
We
math?
Were playing The Logical Journey of the Zumbinis, Chris.
But better.
Freak but Math you. Blaster. I don't know. I had a great time on Math Blaster. Second, third, fourth, and fifth grade.
Is this the time to mention that yet again we are split across the table? Yeah. I've never even heard of this Zumbini game, but I played Math Blaster.
I also played Uncle great. Albert's Attic or something.
I don't know that one.
Uncle Albert's. It was Uncle Albert.
Someone I subscribed to on YouTube played that a few months ago. Yeah. I don't remember who, but I distinctly remember seeing it in my sub box.
Yeah. Was it a DOS game?
No, it was on a disc.
Oh, okay.
If it was a DOS game, it was almost definitely Pushing Up Roses.
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
She plays a lot of those older DOS games, yeah. And I love her.
So yeah, I would absolutely love to see The Logical Journey of the Zumbinis. As a compilation or a digital remaster. Maybe it's on Steam. Maybe I just don't know about it.
If I could have a remaster, it'd be the first three Paper Marios. 1,000 Year Door.
I was actually expecting Mario. You to say Melee.
I mean, well, like, you can't make a compilation of Melee.
You can make a compilation of Smash.
Yeah, you could make a compilation.
But I really only want 64... I really only want 64 in like Melee. You know, like the other two.
That's a compilation.
I mean, Brawl is already
But Paper Mario is tied for my favorite series of all time.
That's true.
So
yeah,
1, 2, and 3.
I just have a hard time picturing you playing games that aren't Smash. So I forget sometimes. I forget sometimes that there are other games. I'm sorry.
I love Paper. If they had like, if they just give us some HD love too. Oh my god. Oh.
Chris. Oh. You're virgin ears.
It was really weird because like the first time I played like the first one, I was probably like 7 or 8 and I was like, yeah, this game is okay.
Yeah.
But then I got the one on the GameCube, immediately put 80 hours into it for no reason. I already beat the game. Pit of 100 trials. I'm going all the way in on this RPG that should take no more than like 10 or 20 hours. But I put 80. And then number 3, I really liked it. A lot of people have mixed feelings about it, but I really like
Paper Mario games. Thousand Year Door is actually just one of my favorite games ever.
Like, it's that good.
Yeah.
People, like, some people say, like, oh, yeah, you know, if you play the second one first, like, you won't have a good appreciation for the first one. But I disagree, because I definitely remember playing the second one a lot more. And then I played the first one on, like, the Wii Virtual Console, and I ended up playing it twice, because I liked it so much.
Nice.
Dan.
Yes.
Round us out.
All right. So... I'll be quick, because I thought of 3, and they're all, like, super obscure. Oh. Well, not super obscure, but, like...
I mean, how much more obscure can you get than the Zumbinis?
That's true.
I think I have a sinking suspicion I know what one of them is.
It's Mega Man.
That had, like, 7 compilations.
I'm not going to say it, because I don't want to spoil it if I'm
You're
right.
You're not going to say it
but
until
is
Kennedy...
is it SRW? Like,
I mean, that's the first one I was going to get to.
It's almost like you two are dating!
What?
Specifically, though, Super Robot Wars, the original generation.
Yeah.
Because there have been a shit ton of OG games. We've only gotten 2 of them in the West. We've gotten OG1 and OG2 on the Game Boy Advance. Mm-hmm. There's also Original Generations on PS2, Original Generations 2, and now OG the Moon Dwellers. And only 1, 2, and Moon Dwellers have official English releases. And in order to get a lot of Moon Dwellers, you have to know what happened in... Original Generations 2, because I was lost. Luckily enough, they have this huge glossary in the game, but you have to do a lot of research. But it would be really cool to see all these like games that like, because like the West has no Super Robot Wars. Like those two on the GBA are it. Mm-hmm. The English release for Moon Dwellers is in Asia.
That was me sending a message to TLC Dean.
Oh,
they're Spoilers. Really they're probably the best strategy games you'll ever play. In all honesty, I really love them, and they're great. So that's one. The next two are ones that are, yeah, fuck it. So
do it!
I lost
do
my
it!
Entire train of thought. But Custom Robo, another robot one.
Yo, yes. Custom Robo is pretty good.
Yes.
Custom, you play Custom Robo?
Yes.
It's fucking fantastic.
Yes.
There were like
The only
custom robo to come here was the one on the GameCube. There were like five others that just never showed up.
Yeah.
It's been a series that's been going since the N64. I think the most recent one was on the DS. So it's been a long time since we had a custom robo release. So some kind of anniversary has to be coming up for this series.
Yeah.
So
if it was on the DS, robo, it's a decade anniversary. Has
whatever's
to be
anniversary. Yeah, actually, no, the probably like the 20th anniversary or something happened like last year because the DS game came out in 06.
Okay.
So 06? Something anniversary, custom robo, give us an HD collection of all of them.
Yes.
Do it. It's going to be fucking great.
Yeah.
And round finally, us out with Dot Hack.
No.
We already.
If you can mention it again.
Finally, a series that I don't think gets enough appreciation is the Dot Shining Hack. Series. Okay. Of games like Shining Force, Shining Soul. The Exa games.
I disagree. The Shining got a lot of
shut
attention.
Up.
I don't know.
That's
Fox,
not
I
a game.
I don't know Fox.
Not
all
with
these
that
games.
Attitude. It's not.
But basically, Shining Force 1 was my first introduction to the strategy game genre, mm-hmm. and it's still a great game to this day. I really love it. And Shining Force 2 did everything better. So various compilations, because the games go into all different kinds of genres.
Yeah.
So the strategy games get their own collection. The top-down RPGs get their own collection. Shining Force Exa does whatever the fuck it does.
It's just an HD release.
And they also just add the fighting game into the one with Exa, because why not? And yeah, the Shining games are great.
All right.
I'm more of a carry person.
Thank you.
I'm his. Listen to me. I am. On
you didn't
point.
Get my joke earlier.
I am.
Chris
on,
got it.
I'm on point.
Chris
with my
got
jokes.
It.
What joke?
You were talking about how to get to Yuffie, you had to pay for the quest, right?
Yeah.
You had to pay your fee. Fuck you.
So mad.
The jokes are on point.
I've been stewing on that for half an hour.
I'm sorry. That's hilarious.
Don't lie to me. I know it's bad.
No, I love it.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah, you died.
I think it's funny.
You didn't see it because it was an audio. This is an audio podcast, but Chris legitimately had to take a moment.
I think the jokes have been very on point today.
I think so too. All right. We have things for you that we're going to publish
soon.
Yeah. One of them is this podcast that we just recorded. Another one is Dungeons & Dragons.
It's finally time.
It's happening, folks.
Whoop.
We are starting TLC's D&D Campaign Adventures. And we will be having more episodes of Shadowrun also.
We're getting a lot done this week. Yeah. Y'all don't even know how much is going on behind the scenes, but this is the busiest week I think we've had in a while.
Yes. Aside from when we recorded like literally 6 hours of Shadowrun when you guys were not in school.
I wasn't.
You were not here.
Yeah, we.
That was before Game of the Year. Game of the Year was another busy week.
Game of the Year, yeah, I think, was the last busy week we had.
No product.
Yeah.
You know, y'all listening to this someday when this podcast is enormous and huge and we have seven bajillion listeners, when literally everyone on the planet is listening to our delicious voices, we are going to release it as a lost episode so y'all can know
it's gonna come around at the
y'all,
like around 2017 game of the year stuff,
so
we're gonna intro with it.
Yeah
so y'all can
be like a last time on Dragon Ball Z kind of thing.
Yeah
so
except there was no last
so
time
y'all
you
can
guys.
See how far we've come. It'll be great. And
we did recap our Game of the Year things a couple episodes ago.
Yeah,
I will link that in this podcast description.
I think the summary we reached was yay Overwatch and Stardew Valley.
Yay Overwatch, yay Doom, yay Hitman, yay Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Boo No Man's Sky.
And
it does not have procedurally generated music.
And Greg really likes that Masquerada.
Yeah, Masquerada is also very good.
Well, I mean, Greg's the only one who's played it, but he also very vehemently defended it.
Yes.
Like, I've never even played it, but I have so much respect.
Also, Super Shotgun, best shotgun, even though Alphonse won in the end.
And Tokyo Mirage Sessions is great.
I mean,
what?
Underwater VR is my thing. I promise.
Underwater VR. Chris is going to make it happen.
I watch out for it. I expect that.
This has been the LifeCast. We have to go roll some dice. We'll catch you next week.
Later.
Bye, friends.
Bye.